Hi everyone, Scruffy Fern here. Thanks for tuning in to a new Level Up newsletter. So we're trying something a little bit different this time around. We're going to be including video in our upcoming newsletters. So this is a little bit of a pilot project. We're going to be messing around with the format here and there, but we are going to be trying to bring you kind of relevant content from some developers from around the community, as well as, poignant discussions on, advanced topics and stuff like that. So, moving forward, if there is things that you'd like to hear about, or if you'd like to give us feedback about the things or you like or don't like about the newsletter, please reach out to us and let us know. We really want to tailor this experience so that everybody can kind of get the most out of it. So to help me kick off our first video in this new series, is a familiar face if you've been kind of hanging around the Scruffy Fern dev shows on Channel 9, stuff like that. That's Rory O'Connor from Moonray Studios. He's here today to talk about standards. So please welcome Rory O'Connor.
Yes, thank you for having me, Mickey.
Thanks for joining us. So yeah, we're going to be talking a little bit about standards and kind of why you need standards in a project, no matter what size your team is really, right? If even if you have like two or three people on a team, it's always a good idea to just have some sort of standards in place. So why don't you elaborate a little bit on what we mean by standards?
Well, that would mean everything from, just how to set up your project, getting a repository ready, getting your file structure in, just having processes for everything. Like, I'm going to commit something. Does anybody have a problem with that? I've been working on this. Just all that right down the line from the beginning of the project up to the end of the project, so that there's just, an overall structure.
So you mentioned commit, right? So we talk about things like tracking your code and as well as tracking bugs and things like that. So when we talk about standards, we're kind of including everything, right? We're including not only the coding standards, which what a lot of people when they hear standards of a project, they're thinking it's coding standards, right? The best practices and how to implement things and whatnot. But in our case, we're actually thinking about everything, right? This is from how you're going to keep your code. And like you said, check it in where you're going to store your code, right down to the basics of how should I declare a for loop in my code, right?
I mean, it's all just important. It's all just as important as the code standards. Code standards is what you hear of, and that's what people, when you say standards, they think of, obviously. But I mean, I think because of that, people start to not think about the other things. Having standards for something as simple as file structure can save a lot of time. And in this business, time is money. And if given one or the other, I'd rather have more time. And if I can save time by just simply having a better file structure, then I'll do it. Anything even like that, it's very important. Whereas we might have a repository for code, artists aren't so used to that. So, like with the company I work at, Moonray, our artist does not even commit the same way I would commit my code. He doesn't commit to the normal repository. He commits to something else, and then somebody else commits it for him because he's not part of that loop. We could save time by integrating him into that loop. It's just we haven't because, it's so late in the development and we didn't really need to.
So yeah, that's kind of a thing there that you pointed out. Is that a problem when you're working, or do you have like what a standard in place to make sure that there is no issue where you check with him or whatever it is? Like, do you have a written list of steps that you need to go through before the two of you are synced, so to speak?
Well, at Moonray, we're kind of small, so we don't have some of these things written down so much as just we practice them in day to day. So we still have a few mishaps here and there, but it is a good practice to write these things down. And if everybody knows them from the beginning, then that's great. The team that I'm working with, we all just sort of came together on day one, thrown together, and had to go from there. And then we've had people added in here and there that didn't really know our process that we've been doing for since day one, right? So, whereas the artist, it just works best where we could have integrated him in the beginning, but now that we're so far along, it's just best that he goes through one of us to commit his things. Else, something bad could happen because he's not in the loop as much as the developers are in this case.
Well, it makes sense, right? And so, best practice-wise, what do you recommend when starting out with a project? What are your
steps that you go through to make sure that you have standards in place so that you don't run into those issues where people coming on board, new developers and new artists and new designers are bumping into these issues where they don't know what to do, right, or how to match up with everybody else's workflow.
Well, I would say that in cases like that, it would be most important to have these things written down. We didn't write them down in the beginning, like I said, we were a new team, but if you have these things written down, it's very nice when you're onboarding a new person onto the team. Give them your document, give them your link, whatever it is, your Google Doc. It could be something as simple as a Google Doc that you just link around and everybody adds to it when they need to. And they read that up, they say, okay, so now I know how to commit something. I know who to check with before I commit something. I know this is how I'm going to write certain things in my code because this is mandatory. And even if it's not mandatory, this is how I know I'm going to write certain things in my code because these people that I'm working with now have deemed it to be useful to them for whatever reason. It doesn't really matter the reasoning behind it so much when you're onboarding somebody else new. They just have to adhere to what you're doing so that, you know, makes everything go smoothly. So yes, having something written down on paper or document would be absolutely the best idea. And that could go, like I said, from something, the code standards, you have the file structure so they know where they're putting stuff. If you have an artist, then generally they would have an artist folder that they're actually committing that their stuff to, and then somebody else would come along and, you know, put it where it needs to be in there, because you don't want them just going through, just putting files wherever, and then you're looking for something.
I think you said it kind of an interesting thing there. You said it doesn't necessarily need to be perfect. They just need to match up to what everyone else is doing. I think that kind of speaks volumes to the idea of standards, right? I even said it. I said best practices, but that's not necessarily the case, right? It's more or less what works inside that team. It might not be the best solution, but it seems to be what works best for that team, right?
Yeah. So like when people say best practices, they think of, oh, this is the best possible thing you can do in the situation. And in the case of best practices, yes, that should be that case. And we should all strive for best practices. You know, try to write the best code possible. Try to have the best process in line possible, so that you're wasting the least time. You're making the best out of your time that you have. That isn't always the reality though. So having a standard for this is the bare minimum. This is acceptable. I just view that as necessary. Without that as a point of start, then you don't know where you're at. Like you'll have people come on and they'll just start doing whatever they're doing. And they might be a decent programmer, they might be a decent artist or whatever their current profession. But at the end of the day, they might not mesh with you. With a document, like we're talking for a standards document, they at least know this is the starting point I need to take. This is where I need to fall in, so that I don't derail the current goings on, and so that I can mesh best with the team, so that they can integrate me in the most, you know, proficient way. And that's really what it breaks down to, is like proficiency. So if your team that you have aren't, you know, the greatest of academia coders, that doesn't mean you can't make a good game. It just means that maybe your best practices, you know, maybe best practices don't work for you. Maybe your standards are, you know, quite shy from best practices, but they do work for you. And over time, project to project to project, you can move your standards up and get closer to that best practice level. And you can always strive for that during the project. There's nothing saying that you can't, you know, do the best possible thing in this current case. It's just a lot of times when it comes to game development, sometimes you have to step back and say, you know, I could do the best possible thing here, but it's going to take me X amount of time we don't have. And that breaks it down really in the end is time.
I think that's like really important. And I know if I was a newbie coming into any team, having some sort of documentation like this to help me out is going to be a huge thing to settle the nerves on the first day, so to speak, right? When you walk into the team and you don't feel like you're the sore thumb sticking out, so to speak. No, that's awesome advice. So, tool-wise, what do you use to kind of to make all that happen?
So, keeping all your code and everything in check, your assets, all that stuff, it's very important. So, we use Git. You can use Subversion. There's Plastique. There's plenty of options for this. There's Team Foundation Server, even from Microsoft. Everything. It's all good. Just pick one that works best for your team, works best for your project, the technologies you're using, and use it, and adhere to it. Then communication is really key. So use something like Skype or Slack or IRC, anything. As long as you guys are chatting together and keeping everybody up to date on what's going on the project at all times. And then you have like also a record to go back and see what was said so that you know, what something was at any given time. Also, ability to track your bugs and tasks is paramount. So anything like, hack and plan, pivotal tracker, again, back to the Team Foundation server, they have lots of tools in there for that. Anything that'll let you track your tasks in a Scrum method, whatever works for you.
Yeah, I was going to say that you kind of mentioned there Visual Studio Online, right? Obviously, the Microsoft product. It's fantastic, though, because it includes all those things, right? You have your repo system like TFS and Git built in, as well as you have bug tracking and even a communication system. I don't want to seem like I'm trying to sell it or anything, but it is actually really, really helpful. It's something that I use internally most of the time.
I don't currently use it, but I've looked at it, and it does have its merits. It has, like you said, all of the above. So if somebody was to use it, they would literally hit every single point I just said with just that one piece of technology.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And there are other solutions out there that do a lot of similar things. So yeah, thank you very much for hanging out with us today, Rory. I really, really appreciate it. It's some really, really good advice. And we'll have to have you back soon to talk about some more stuff. In fact, I kind of noticed you have a business card in your hand there. So how do people get a hold of you if they want to contact you?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm on Twitter under Zen the Red. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on all that stuff too. You can find me, it's Rory O'Connor. So that's really how you get in touch with me. Mostly Twitter. Twitter's good.
Yeah, it's not hard to recognize him on LinkedIn and that, just like for the beard.
Yeah. I look like this.
So. Awesome. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And thank you very much for tuning in. Again, if you like this new format, please let us know. If you have any topics that you'd like us to cover or, any complaints, just reach out, let us know. You can find me on Twitter at ScruffyFern, as well as you can check us out. I'm streaming live every week now, so if you want to come and join me and check out some really cool behind-the-scenes work that I'm doing on some VR content, you can check us out at ScruffyFern.tv. That's every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. Reach out, let us know how things are going, and I look forward to hearing from you guys. Thanks, and happy coding.